When you first become president, one of the questions that people ask you is, what's really going on at Area 51? I think I just became the first president to ever publicly mention Area 51.
I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
I had people go look at the records on Area 51 to make sure there was no alien down there. I had all the Roswell papers reviewed, everything.
If you saw that there were aliens there, would you tell us?
Yeah.
You would?
I mean, if there's some huge national security thing and I can't get agreement to open them, I won't. But I do want to open them because I'm interested.
You believe?
I don't know. But there are enough stories out there that I don't think everybody is just sitting, you know, in their kitchen making them up. I think that people see things. What they see, I don't know.
That certain morning, I happened to look over into the sky to the northeast, and I seen a very, very bright light up there, like a very bright star. And then I said, well, that's moving. And I just stood there and watched it as what it was doing, and it was just coming down out of the sky real slow, and no noise. Just quiet, and I couldn't see no wings or nothing, just floating right through the midair up there. And I thought, well, if I don't tell nobody that I seen something go over town tonight, nobody will believe me tomorrow.
Hey guys, and welcome to this week's episode of Paranormal Odyssey. Thank you guys so much for taking time to be with us for the show. It is Sunday. I hope you guys have had a great week. We've got an amazing guest lined up for you, but as always, I want to start the show by inviting you. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. You can get me at paranormalodysseypodcast@gmail.com. As I said, we've got a great guest lined up for this evening. We've got Nicole from my home state, original home state, where I was born and raised, Georgia. Nicole has had some really interesting experiences there, and I'm going to let her tell those in her own words, but she's had a very interesting encounter with a ghost named Willie. So stay tuned for that. You will see, or hear rather, that she references a video that she sent me. I'm trying to get that video into a format where I can share it in the show notes for you guys, but unfortunately I haven't been able to do that yet. So after the interview ends and Nicole and I are finished with our interview, just hang tight. Don't bell out on the show just yet. There is the audio. It's about 5 minutes of audio from the actual investigation that we reference in the interview. So you get to hear some of the EVP stuff. Some of it doesn't really translate great because they're doing some experiments with flashlights in the dark room, and you can see the flashlights lighting up and sort of responding to the questions that you can hear the investigators asking. So that doesn't translate really well, but you get to hear the interaction, and you do get to clearly hear some of the voices coming over on the spirit box when they're asking Willie questions, and I thought that was really cool. So once Nicole and I are finished with the interview, hang around, don't skip out. There's an extra 5 minutes of that audio at the end of this, so it'll be right before the outro, basically. So, and the last thing I'm going to say as far as the intro goes and the housekeeping for this week, thousands of you guys listen to this show each week, and I've got 31 reviews on Apple Podcast. I know I've been guilty of it. There are tons of shows that I listen to. I've listened to 300 episodes of certain shows like Astonishing Legends, for example. I've not left them a review. Please rate the show, leave us a 5-star rating, leave us some sort of a review. By review, I mean click the write a review button and say, hey, great show. Hey, you suck. Hey, do more of this. Hey, keep it up. Hey, thank you. Something. It goes a long way in driving us up and helping other people find the show. That's why I harp on it every week. So please do that. It takes you 10 seconds. Even if you have to pause the show right now to go over on whatever podcatcher you're listening to, if you can leave a review on Spotify, do it over there. But particularly on Apple Podcast. Okay, enough of that. I'm going to shut up. Just remember, at the end of Nicole and I's interview, don't skip out. listen to the other 5 minutes or so of audio after that. I hope you guys enjoy it. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Folks, I want to welcome our guest tonight. It's Nicole from Georgia. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks so much for coming on the show. I know you've had some experiences that, as like most people, you're a little hesitant to share. So I really appreciate you taking time and coming on and trusting me with telling me your stories tonight. So why don't you just take us into what's been going on and take us back to the first encounter experience that you had and tell us what happened.
Sure. Well, I sold a house that I'm about to talk about 2 years ago, and partly because of this entity named Willie that was bothering me, and also because of the real estate market. But basically, it was a three-story townhouse. I had my master bedroom on the top floor along with a second small bedroom. Middle area is living room, den, kitchen, dining, and the bottom floor is a guest room. And I was living alone, no pets, no people, on the third floor, master bedroom. And one night while I was sleeping, I heard some footsteps at my bedroom door. My bedroom door was closed, and there's hardwood floors outside there. And it sounded like a couple of coming up to my door and then stopping. And I bolted up thinking, oh my God, somebody's in my house. And then I thought, no, that's impossible. You can't get in my house without me hearing something. There's no windows on the first floor. It would be a big mess to get in. So I went back to sleep with that rationale, but it happened two more times, bolting up from footsteps at that same position outside my bedroom door. And I kept talking myself out of it. There were footsteps right next to me on my carpeted bedroom floor, right next to the bed, two or three steps, and then stopping at the side of my bed. And I thought, well, I can't believe it. It is a home invasion, and they are in my room, and I will probably be killed in the next 5 minutes. Who knows? But maybe if I just stay still and pretend like I'm asleep, if they're here for a robbery or something else, they'll just see me and walk away, leave me alone, and grab what they want. So the final time that I heard footsteps was right next to my bed on the carpeted floor, and I knew that this is really a home invasion. I thought, oh my gosh, they're in my room. I might be dead in the next 5 minutes or less. Who knows? And I thought, well, maybe if I stay still and keep my eyes closed and pretend to be asleep, they'll leave me alone. They'll grab what they want and get out of here. But then I felt a footstep on the side of my mattress, on my mattress next to me, somebody getting up and standing on the mattress. And I assumed then it was a man, because it felt heavier than I had ever impressed on the mattress. And then the full weight of a person sitting down on my other side, like one person had stepped on the mattress on one side of me, stepped over me and sat down on my other side. And I thought, wow, this is too invasive. This is not a person who's going to leave me alone. So this home invasion is about to turn into a murder or something. And I guess this is it. And then I thought, you know, I didn't hear anything except footsteps. I didn't hear breathing or clothing or bones and skin, nothing corporal, just the footsteps. Guess this is a really vivid dream or a ghost. So I thought I had to turn on my lamp in 3 seconds, and that would help me figure out which one it was. And in the meantime, my legs were extremely painful from the panic. I guess your blood stops flowing to your limbs and conserves itself in the core of your body. So the feeling of the constriction of the blood vessels in my legs was really painful, and I didn't know if I could hold on to playing asleep for much longer. So I went ahead and went for that 3 second time to turn on the lamp to determine ghost or invader. And nobody was there. I turned on the lamp just fine. Nobody was there. So I had to do some mental gymnastics about how to deal with this. And because I believe in guardian angels and helpful spirits, I thought, let's just say this is somebody giving me a message that I need to learn something from. What could it be? What could it be? I don't want to be scared of anything else. So I decided it was my guardian telling me, you better turn on the alarm, because I wasn't doing that. you turn on your house alarm at night and you will never feel this afraid again. So that was my rationale. And I felt fine, amazingly, after that. And nothing happened for a year. And by then, another year later, I took on a housemate and he got the downstairs guest room and we shared the middle area and I stayed alone in the upstairs. But one weekend I was out of town and he texted me, "Hey, are you in the house?" And I said, "No, I'm out of town." And he said, "Okay." And when I got back, I said, "What did you need? Did you need something?" "No, it's just that I heard somebody walking around in the kitchen while I was in the shower, so I thought you were home." And I started realizing what this might be. I'd already told him a little bit of the history about my experience. So I said, "What did you do?" And he said, "I went upstairs, start making dinner. Nobody was there. And I thought, maybe this is the guy that you had told me about. But then I sat down on the couch to watch TV, and I heard someone going up and down the stairs right behind me." This is my roommate speaking. And he then knew that it was the ghost that I had experienced, and he was petrified, would not turn around and see what was behind him. So now we both have the experience of hearing this guy walk around the house and neither of us opening our eyes to look at him. And I thought, well, this is too much. I can't have this happening again, and I can't have my housemate scared. I can be scared, but I can't have somebody paying money here being scared. So I looked up the paranormal investigators from Atlanta. And it took them a few months to schedule a visit. And in the meantime, I had just a couple more experiences. One was while I was asleep, I woke up probably naturally. But as I did, I heard somebody run out of my room. They were on the other side of the bed on a carpet and ran out as if me waking up was going to get them in trouble. And so that time I yelled. It was hard to get my voice going out and leave me alone. And that time I could not go back to sleep. And I spent the next 2 months not being comfortable sleeping in my house. So I was, especially in the dark, I had it in my mind, and I know it's probably not true, that nothing can happen during the sun time or when the lights are on. So I would spend all night in my room with the lights on or watching TV. And then when the sun came up, I would take a little nap and then take another nap after work. So I was having a horrible sleep schedule. Sometimes going to friends' houses to sleep just so I could get a good night's sleep. But then the paranormal investigators came and they spend a good 4 hours in someone's house. And it's always free if anybody's wondering. They spend 4 hours in the house and I had to leave. And they put all their equipment out and do all sorts of tests and then ask me to come back in the last half hour just to see if there's any more evidence to gather while I'm there. But when they do arrive, they ask, you know, for my story and a little tour of the house. So I did that, and I've got some videos if anyone wants to see them from that. And what they discovered was this guy named Willie. And my house is only 8 years old, and I had been the first resident of it. And Willie had lived in the neighborhood and apparently died of an overdose in the neighborhood or in that lot that had been my property before the townhouse was built. And what they got on the EVP, the electronic voice something, was a conversation with Willie saying, "This is Nicole's house. You can't be here. You need to go." And you could hear his voice saying, "This is a big house." And he said, they said, "You have to go. You know that you're not wanted here. Do you understand?" And he says, "Yeah, cool." So there's a few episodes of conversation with Willie on these voice recordings. And then when they asked me back in, we did a little flashlight experiment. They couldn't get a voice recording going with Willie in my room. So they had to go around the house, and they found the second upstairs room was where they could hear Willie best.
Stay tuned for more Paranormal Odyssey. We'll be right back after these messages.
But back in my room, we did some flashlights on the bed and some questions. And the flashlights came on to answer a couple of questions. And by that time, I thought, all right, Willie's not in this room, and the questions being asked and answered sound more like a friendly spirit or guardian. Not that Willie wasn't friendly, but Willie was just, "Hey, I want to live here too. This is a big house. I used to live around here. There's plenty of room for me." And despite the investigators telling him to get out, he never did. So after they left, Willie kept coming around and dropping, I don't know if he dropped things on my bed, but sometimes it felt like the weight of a big textbook falling on my bed. or maybe just a little press here and there. And I thought to myself, now that I know that Willie's not a bad guy, just kind of invasive presence, and now I know that I have some guardian angels around me, I'm not going to be scared of Willie anymore. And I tried to come to peace with just accepting him as a new housemate. And I would come home from work and say, Willie, I'm home and I don't want to hear a sound from you. I don't want to see you. You better pretend like you're not here and we'll get along just fine. So that's basically how I was living. And I was able to sleep finally with this new feeling that he was respecting my boundary of not coming in my room and me understanding that I have some helpful guides protecting my area. So I went from being petrified of dying to, okay, this is just a creepy guy that shouldn't be here, to, well, I have a new housemate and I guess there's nothing I can do about it. But there was one last time, I still don't know if it's him or somebody else, that I had hurt my neck the night before. And in the morning, somebody was giving me a knuckle massage in the neck while I was still asleep. And I thought, wow, it's my boyfriend came over this early just to check on me and see if I'm feeling okay. And I turned over to say good morning and nobody was there. So now I don't know if that's Willie also or other spirits in the house, but it was always a little too personal, a little too invasive in my room for my liking. So by the time I sold the house, I was good riddance. Like, that's all I've got for off the cuff. Did you have any questions?
Yeah, I certainly do. The incident that you described in the beginning with the entity coming into your room and you hearing the footsteps and sitting on the bed and feeling the pressure had to be overwhelming. I couldn't imagine having that sort of encounter. And it sounds very nefarious to me. It doesn't sound like a benign encounter because it's a very tactile sort of encounter in a very sacred space. Most people consider their bedroom, you know, their personal space, some of the right. most personal space in your home, I guess, outside of the bathroom and the things that all humans have to do in the bathroom is a pretty personal experience. But sleeping and being in your bedroom, at least to me, is one of the most personal spaces in the home. So what were you thinking at the time? I mean, I know you sort of described that in the beginning, you thought it might be a home invasion, but when you figured out that it's not a real person, I mean, what was going through your mind at that point? Had you had those types of experiences in the past with anything, or is this the first time you'd ever experienced anything paranormal?
In the past were long ago, seeing an apparition in someone's house, but it not seeing me or responding to me. And another time, daylight, and I was crying my eyes out over some kind of argument, and somebody's hand touched my knee and I felt the palm and all five fingers. So I thought, and I felt calm immediately. So I thought, okay, that must be what a guardian angel does and feels like. So part of my rationale back in the bedroom was, all right, this entity didn't hurt me. Of all the things that I've heard dark entities do, nothing bad happened to me. Why would somebody just come in here and scare me to death, but not cause any real harm? So it was just a mental gymnastics of how am I going to think of this so that I can continue living here, continue sleeping, continue being sane. Maybe it's that guardian angel who touched my knee when I was crying, doing something else to warn me of something. That's all I had.
Yeah, that's the other question I have. You've mentioned the guardian angels a couple of times. Tell us about that and where, how did you get to that point where you feel like or you believe that you have these guardian angels? Where did that experiences come from?
It was about 1995 and I was living with my aunt in California for the first time. So I was 25 probably, and I had no idea about spirits, didn't want to believe in anything like a ghost, didn't want to believe that anything would scare me in the night. I didn't like horror. So it was just in the back of my head and never thought about it and hoped they weren't true. But the same week, I saw a woman in my aunt's bathroom in the middle of the night, just cloudy and not clear. I thought it was a house guest sleepwalking into my space until I realized she wasn't solid. And then I panicked and threw the blanket over my head and just stayed there till the morning. And that pretty much shocked me into, well, all of your beliefs that nothing is out there just ended. You have to face the facts now. And then a week later was just daylight sitting on my bed, hand on my knee. And I felt the difference between being afraid of something I saw and feeling really at peace and loved and comforted by that hand experience. So yeah, my world burst open wide that week. And I realized there's so many different kinds of entities giving so many different emotions that, wow, maybe you have to figure out who's who and what's what by how they make you feel. So it was really confusing that I was terrified of that bedroom experience, but then comforted myself with a little bit of mental trickery that, well, nothing really bad happened to you. So maybe it was a helpful message.
Yeah, I think that's the very interesting thing about people who encounter ghosts and have entities around their home. I'm a fan of horror movies, obviously, and I've followed the Warrens, Ed and Lorraine Warren. I had Paul Eno on the show a couple of weeks ago, who used to work with the Warrens back in the early 70s, and he talked about dealing with some of the entities that they dealt with in some of the poltergeist cases that they had back in the early 70s when he was with them. And one of the things that I've come to realize over the course of doing research about some of these things is how often the darker entities will pretend to be something comforting, either in the beginning or the whole time, frankly, up until the very end. And it's very scary to think about, you know, even when sometimes you feel comforted, it may just be the entity trying to gain your trust for something nefarious. So I'm glad that it seems that that wasn't the case with you for sure. It sounds like Willie was sort of benign and you learned to live with him. Let me ask you this. Yeah. Have you had experiences after you've left that house and the new place? Have those experiences completely stopped?
Those experiences stopped, but I felt like a couple of things happened that were more from the guardian angel side of things. And I'll come back and talk about the investigators in a minute, which also made me feel comforted. But in my new house, I had a boyfriend that, after we broke up, would not let go and wanted to come by and hang out sometimes. And while we were sitting on the couch, he was holding a pillow and somebody punched the pillow he was holding. Nobody's there but him and I sitting on the couch, and he looked at me and said, "Who just punched that pillow?" And I said, "Well, not me." And I automatically knew that this was somebody on my side, and I just smiled and looked up and said, "Thank you." But he was freaked out and left and hasn't bothered me since. But I had to contact a medium to see if I could get some answers about that. And there were a few theories thrown around, but nothing definite. But I feel like I'm always protected now. I feel like I have whoever came to my assistance during the Willie experience. So helped that the investigator gave me, one of them is a medium, told me that, well, Willie's not a bad guy. He doesn't have negative energy. He just thinks he's allowed to hang out here and that there's no problem with it.
Well, I thank God that you had the investigators that were willing, number one, to come out to the property and help you and were clearly competent enough to get you through the process for sure. Not everybody has those types of experiences. So for you, I'm definitely glad that that's how it worked out for you. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing your experiences. I know that wasn't an easy thing to do. And I certainly do appreciate you trusting me enough to come on the show and tell your story.
Yeah, I get lost in my stories, but I thought of one last thing, which may or not be interesting to the story. Once I moved to my new house, I had a dream, and you can just tell me if you want me to repeat it later. I had a dream really long and vivid that I thought this has to be a message for it to be so long and vivid, but I had a human woman giving me a tour of a haunted place to try to get me used to the idea of not being scared around ghosts. And she said, "We're going to go into this restaurant and there's a haunted room upstairs." And we went up there and sat. It was dark. It was empty, just a table with four chairs. So she and I sat down at the table, and all of a sudden Willie was at the table and Matthew Broderick. And Willie and I were having just a nice old chat. It's like, "Oh, so this is what you look like, and tell me about your life and what brought you to this area," just pretending like we're a couple of people meeting at a bar. But Matthew Broderick was freaking out the whole time. He was leaning over and holding his head, and, "Oh my God, I can't believe I'm sitting by a ghost," blah, blah, blah. And so when I woke up, I thought, that is weird, and there's got to be a message in there somewhere. So I Googled Matthew Broderick and ghost, and it came up that he had done a play in Ireland where the theme of the play was his wife died and he was haunted by her in his house and he was always afraid of it. And he went to therapy to get over the fear of seeing his ex-wife's ghost. So I bought the play and I read it all. And at the end, it just says something about fear is just your own reaction to something. Not everybody is afraid of the same things. You can choose not to be afraid. So I thought that was a little bit of closure on the Willie chapter.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That is fascinating. I was like, where is the Matthew Broderick thing going? <Yeah. laughs> But it's crazy how it's like those 6 degrees of separation. You know, he does this play and then you dream about Matthew Broderick and Willie at the mm-hmm. same time. It's fascinating stuff, and I really do appreciate you coming on and sharing your story for sure.
Great. Thanks so much.
Stay tuned for more Paranormal Odyssey. We'll be right back after these messages.
Philip, Jonathan, and even Mike, our tech guy, and we're like, let's just do this, and we feel safe with them. And in doing this, you have to have somebody that has your back. You have to have people who know what the hell they're doing.
Is that Willie? Willie died? What did that just say?
He died. It's okay to talk to us. Willie, we're not here to hurt you. We're here to help you. It's important that you communicate with us.
Okay. Yeah. I hate this. Willie, it's a lot more fun to go to the light than it is to hang around this place.
Ooh, it's almost a jerk. Philip can cross you over.
I can get you to that better place if you let me.
Do you want us to leave, Willie? If you want us to leave, you have to let us know.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you don't want to go to the light, to your new life, you cannot come in this home anymore.
This is not your home. Nicole lives here. This is her home.
I know this used to be your neighborhood back in the day, but it's not your home anymore. You can't come here anymore.
Do you understand? We're gonna close that door, Willie. Do you understand?
Yeah, cool.
Okay, good. We're glad you understand that. Do you want to get a message to Nicole? If so, please light up the flashlight. Okay, you do.
Oh.
What is that message? You can talk into our voice recorder. Going to point to it. Please talk into that voice recorder.
Oh, I have a question for you. Does the number 777 have any significance to you? Yeah. Oh.
Sometimes it takes them a while, like what we're doing. It's me and zipping energy. So it could be responding to the very last question there.
Are you touching the bed? Whoa.
That was a trap.
Yeah. Does one of her dogs come to visit?
Are there any final messages that you want to tell Nicole?
It just got brighter in here.
Was there a click?
Yeah.
Did you move, Philip, or anything?
Uh-huh.
No?
I just said it got brighter in here.
The phone call heard something when it came through the headphones.
Do I have a dog in here?
Oh.
So we were getting a steady 777, mm-hmm. like literally almost
all night.
All night.
So it's just been up since.
Which was crazy.
We started this.
Yeah. So we looked it up. Angel number 777 is meaning. The angel number is a spiritual number, and triple means its power is magnified three times as well. If you keep seeing 777, it's an indication that you're ready to grow spiritually. To do this, you must be able to reveal your highest, self and be the best version of yourself.
And that's it for tonight's show, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you guys next week.